St. Johns County, there's an accident right around mile marker 314. I-10 East McDuff to around Cassett, there is backup. And 295 North, Bay Meadows Road, starting at State Road 9B, heavy traffic on the highway there. Mostly cloudy today, but warm. Our high will be 85. This evening, there's about an 8 out of 10 chance of rain with thunderstorms, a low of 62. Right now, 65 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A proposed constitutional amendment that would raise Florida's minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle. President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years. And over the last 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over concerns of privacy.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Hour number two. Good morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Some of the big stories we're covering today. Democrats say they want to break up monopolies like Facebook and Google and Amazon. Some of you think that it's all about high tech. No. They think they're just getting too big. They think Amazon's getting too big even in the food industry.
The real problem, Ed, in my view, just my humble opinion that no one cares about, they actually think they're making too much money.
That's possibly. Minimum wage jobs, we'll get into this in a couple of amendments. Minimum wage jobs could be a big focus as far as going up to $15 an hour. The move by John Morgan and the Florida for a Fair Wage, they've submitted enough ballot initiatives to at least get the ball going for a Supreme Court review. Also, Governor Ron DeSantis says that he really is heavily focused on getting, not just cutting the red tape, but eliminating all this nonsense that his administration is saying, that why do new barbers have to have a requirement for 1,200, this is again according to the DeSantis administration, 1,200 hours just to get permission from the government to cut hair. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's get on with the news. Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson has just reported the political committee Florida for a Fair Wage has submitted over 87,000 valid petitions, making the proposed amendment by jacking up the minimum wage eligible for at least a review by the Florida Supreme Court. Of course, all this was led by Attorney John Morgan. What this initially would do, if passed next year in the 2020 ballot, it would increase a year later the minimum wage, which is currently at $8.46 an hour, to instantly at $10 an hour, and then a dollar each year until 2026. It hits the $15 an hour minimum wage. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow for the White House was asked about this in other areas when it comes to Amazon and companies in Florida. $15 an hour minimum wage, is it needed?
Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he raised it to $15 for his private company, his private sector company. Right. That's great. That's terrific. All right? Fatter paychecks. I'm all for that. But I'm totally opposed to the federal government dictating wages like that. It just doesn't work. States are different. Cities are different. Regions are different.
Now he brings up the area cities are different. If this doesn't go through, some would say it could be quite possible that cities themselves here in Florida may try to go down the road itself, like we see in many other areas of the country, by imposing its own local minimum wage.
Idaho is different from New York, okay? Alabama is different from Massachusetts. How can you have a national federal wage? All right, I don't understand that. Federal government should not have jurisdiction over the states anyway in a matter like this. The conditions are different in these states, right? The cost of living is different. The state of business is different. If you're going to do it, and I'm not in favor of minimum wages, by the way, but if you're going to do it, you got to do it at the state level. You cannot do it at the federal, national.
That's what they're trying to do. Let me, I think, if you look at it, Roger, I think they'll get the amount of signatures to put it on the ballot. $10 an hour seems like, man, okay, $8.46, only $1.30 more, or whatever, $1.40. Right. Even though they want to go $15 an hour, but I got to give them credit, incrementally getting this thing passed is at least probably way, which I think could probably get 60% coming up in 2020.
Yeah, I think incrementalism probably is going to end up getting it passed, and I think we're going to see that on the ballot in 2020. But even within the state, the economies are different. If you want to get a job in South Beach, you know, it's going to be more expensive to live there because the cost of living is higher than you would have, say, in a Palatka, Florida.
Right.
And would that be a fair to Palatka business owners who are trying to get started or, you know, operate their business to have to pay the same rate of pay to their employees that a business in South Beach has to pay?
You know, that's a valid point. You know, for years there's been this thing called regional government where, for example, in Northeast Florida, Clay County, Madison, Jefferson, along with Duval, they all have their own little enterprise zone. They could raise taxes whatever they want, which would totally eliminate local county and city council individuals. Mm-hmm. They tried it in South Florida with some of the regional areas out there. And as you brought up, not many people want to pay the same tax in Palm Beach County,
right?
A gasoline or sales tax, or in other words, in other areas of the state. But if we're going to go down this road, is it possible? And I understand state laws, but follow me for a second. You brought up a very interesting point. In North Florida, in Northwest, North Central Florida, the economy is a little bit different in South Florida. I mean, you got small, poor counties where business owners could not afford to pay $11, $12, $13 an hour, but they could certainly absorb it down in municipalities like South Florida.
Right. And, you know, to call them poor probably wouldn't be an accurate thing either. The cost of living is not as high. So for their economy, it's probably doing okay because you don't have to pay as much for rent or to buy a house than you would, for example, in Coral Gables.
President Trump is unveiling his budget this week. He's calling for, I mean, trillions, but it's almost around 2.73 trillion over the next 10 plus years. I've always been curious why we have to do these budgets over 10 years. You get a new Congress, you get a new White House, but they want to do it with about a 5% cut they proposed. They say a real cut, Roger, overall, starting in this budget from the National Taxpayer Union's Maddie Dupler. She says, we've got a $22 trillion debt. She says, Republicans want increase in government spending on the defense. Democrats want increased spending on a, quote, social safety net. She says, all of these cuts and everything else, if we don't do something about the debt and deficits, both sides won't have any money to spend anything on.
We are careening towards a cliff, and we don't know how to stop ourselves. Now, in some ways, it's alarming but not shocking that politicians have not started to use the national debt as an issue that they actually want to try and tackle. But frankly, if you look into the future, $22 trillion now, but a trillion every year after that, really starts to make a dent. And the reason that politicians should care about this is for both political reasons and realistic ones as well. One is that it destabilizes the future for all Americans. So if you're potentially a Republican or a conservative who talks a lot about economic opportunity, those opportunities narrow as the debt continues to squeeze out other kinds of investment. But if you're a Democrat and you think the federal government should be spending on a lot of different programs, those priorities will also be undermined by the fact that the debt will take up a greater part of the federal budget.
For my conservative friends that are out there listening, how come a lot of the Republicans, understandably so, would talk heavily about the debt ceiling debate, how we need to get it under control under Barack H. Obama? And where are the conservatives now not talking enough about the national debt and deficits?
It's very, and you notice this real easily. Whenever the Republicans are not in power, they tend to be so much against all the spending that's out of control. But the minute they are in control, they do just as much spending, if not more.
I mean, again, this has been pointed out and asked by the Wall Street Journal. Here's the question I ask you. I don't hear anybody calling on talk radio, whether it's other shows, if I'm on the road, I don't hear anybody complaining about the national debt or the deficits right now.
Yeah. One of the things I really appreciate that President Trump has done, though, he has ordered the various department heads to spend less money than it's been allocated. And if he can reduce that, even
that
though the money
be
has been
move.
Signed, you don't spend as much.
The new term, which the president has kind of coined, as you know, fake news, but presidential harassment. Byron York from the Washington Examiner points out from the story, this is what the new terminology is because Democrats may not want to. Remember, originally, let's wait for the Russia investigation to be done with. We can nail the president here. Now we need to nail him on crimes that if he did commit any crimes before he was president. Somehow they think it's impeachable. Again, you have to impeach a president, what he's done while he's in the White House. But what Democrats try to do, this is they say it's all about, well, according to some of those out there by the columnists, Democrats want to weaken the president in some of those blue states he won, like, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Hopefully that he will not ensure a re-election bid in 2020. But the liberal left is asking the question, wait a second, why do we need to wait on the Mueller investigation? I mean, presidential harassment, MSNBC's Joy Reid. Again, why don't we just do something now about it?
Other than you, to be blunt.
Yes.
Members of Congress, including Democrats, will not discuss impeachment, even though impeachment would be the public hearings that would allow the public to know what you are learning. And there are. waiting on the Mueller probe. It's all being hung on Robert Mueller. Is that fair to the American people to only allow the Mueller probe to be decisive rather than initiating an impeachment hearing so that the public could find out what you guys know?
If I read into it what I heard, and I try to take literally what they say without trying to read much into it, the only way to expose President Trump is to go down the road of impeachment. But wait a second. You guys control all the media. You guys have aligned yourselves. You can do any press conference you want. The media's going to come out there and cover it. If you've got all this dirt on President Trump, just release it out there. You don't need to have an impeachment process.
In fact, they probably will release it even if it's classified, leaking it to the media. She's making it sound like there's information that Congress has that the American people don't know that's bad for the president. I cannot see that happening without that being leaked already.
Impeach 45. Maxine Waters says the main reason why we need to impeach President Trump is because he is undermining the Constitution.
I believe in the Constitution, and the Constitution gives us the authority and the responsibility to decide whether or not a president is acting in the best interest of his country. This president is not. As far as I'm concerned, he has enough violations. He's been involved in a lot of activity that we believe needs to be made apparent. And so I believe that we have everything that it needs to basically impeach him. The American people should be depending on the people that they elected to represent them to determine whether or not this president is undermining the Constitution, whether or not he's acting in our...
Can I ask a question? One area, for those of the left out there, and I'm really being serious, tell me what area the Constitution has the president undermined.
Yeah.
Hey, if he has, let me know. Because don't a lot of our elected officials undermine the Constitution, not abide by the Constitution, go overboard of what the Constitution says? These are your limit rules and regulations on your own self that you're not able to do?
Yeah.
I mean, could we? Well, heck, I guess I gave grounds to impeach all the congressmen.
I've been thinking real hard, and I cannot think of a single thing that President Trump's done to undermine the Constitution. You may not like his personal style. You may not like what he says on Twitter, but has he violated the Constitution? I don't think so.
When we come up next, public-private partnership. Where does there need to be more government involvement in business, or where does there need to be more business involved in government? According to the liberal left, they are afraid that corporations are taking over government. I am not making this up. That corporations are taking over government, it's a bad thing. We'll get into this here in just a few moments. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Your call's coming up next. 222 Talk. 904-222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
And if you're at I-295 North, from State Road 9B to Bay Meadows, you'll see backup. 10 going east toward downtown, starting at Cassett, there's backup. And if you're on Wonderwood Bridge, apparently there's a construction project that's now blocking the right side of the bridge.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Mostly cloudy today, but it will be warm. Our high 85 this evening. Lots of rain with thunderstorms early in the evening with a low of 62. And right now it's 65 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The latest jobs report was weaker than expected. Economists still say that 2019 is still a good year for the consumer. The DeSantis administration says they are looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in Florida. And Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Before I get to the phones, I found this clip over the weekend. Alexandria Cortez was at some big event with a bunch of libs out in Texas. And you know what, folks? Listen to this, because my question is framed around government, business, partnering up for the better, beneficial element for society. She says she worries about corporations taking over the government.
You know, just as there's all this fear-mongering that government is going to take over every corporation and government is going to take over every business or every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government.
Well, wait a second. Our governments... This is not conspiracy talk. They've taken over the education system. They've heavily got themselves involved in the healthcare system out there. My question to you is, if you have a public-private partnership, public means government, private means free market, supposedly. Right. Here's a question I'd like to ask you, along with other questions we've talked about this morning. Locally, state, or federally, where do you believe that government and the private sector, if I can ask it this way, can coexist together?
Mm-hmm.
And if there needs to be a, quote, private-public partnership, a government and the free market, where is there more of a need of the free market into what government's doing? Or, let me ask a question. Some would say, well, the government needs to be more into the free market when it comes to healthcare.
Right.
So is there an argument? And let me ask you, from your expertise as a parent, as a business owner, where do you think we need to have more, whether it's locally here in Northeast Florida, whether it's in statewide or federally, where do you think that we should have a better public, quote, private partnership, the two mixed together? 222 talk. 222, Matt, put on your thinking cap. Kind of curious. 222 talk, 222-8255. Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Ed. I know you were hoping a liberal would call in and tell you where Trump is violating the Constitution.
All right.
But listen, I think Trump has at least proposed violating the Constitution on at least three occasions. And you know what? Obama used his pen and his phone, and I jumped up and down when he did that. You know, we have due processes, three branches of the government, and whatnot. So the first point where concerns me was Trump pushing red flag laws. You know, that's taking guns without due process just because a neighbor could call in and say, well, I don't like this guy. I think he may shoot up a school or something. So then the police go in and grab the guns. Trump's pushing red flag laws. Do you disagree with that?
I haven't seen much of that. I know he's been talking about bump stock, but not a whole lot of the red flags. And yeah. I mean, I've heard some conversation, but not a whole lot from that.
Yeah, no, he sat in a big meeting with all the Democrats, and he said, you know, we'll take the guns first, worry about due process later. But anyways, you can follow up
on
that.
Yeah, I think I saw that one time. Yeah, there was an argument about that, but I think it was, but go ahead. Go ahead, I'll let you make your points.
Yeah, so the next thing is what you mentioned, the bump stock. You know, and whether you own a bump stock or not, 525 million Americans bought them legally. Now, 525 million Americans, without Congress being involved, are becoming felons March 26. Nobody's going to turn them in just because of the way the new law was enacted. He used his pen, basically, called up the Department of Justice and said, let's ban these bump stocks. You know, laws are supposed to go, if they want to ban a product, you know, they need to go through Congress and through Senate, and they'll get the chance to
ban it. I would agree with that, but hold on, you lost me because there isn't 525 million Americans.
No, sorry. 525,000 bump stocks.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
All right, I was like, wow, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Give me the third one.
He was counting the Mexicans in.
The third one is and it's debatable, certainly. But the immigration. Now, I know we need to secure the border, and I can understand the president's frustration. But declaring a national emergency, bypassing Congress, is an issue for me. I think he should have, whatever he was going to do, he should have done it when he had a Republican House. And
well, I agree
had
with that.
The power of the pen.
I agree. Hey, good. Okay, so Mike, good to have you on this morning. So the national emergency, I don't think, is unconstitutional. I understand the Dems could care less about that. Mm-hmm. There's been acts that has done this before. But according, hold on, I think I got this clip right here. Hold on, see if, man, if I still got this, this is good. Here it is. I mean, to just what he said, here's a clip from CNN's Jim Sciotta. Jim Sciotto, it doesn't matter, but he worked in the Obama administration. He's now a news analyst for CNN. He had Congressman Adam Zinger.
You, like many.
On the Kinzinger, excuse me. This was, I think, last Thursday, where he says, wait a second, all you Republicans, and I think it's a fair question. I don't have a problem of you know, asking, hey, well, you did this under Obama, but I wish they'd ask Democrats the same question. But he says, wait, all you Republicans opposed when Obama had an executive order. Now, Kinzinger says the difference is President Obama was there to change law. The president's calling for a national declaration on just when it comes to areas, when it comes to appropriation of money. Clip number five. See what you think about this.
Republicans, when President Obama used executive authority without congressional approval, you opposed it. I'm going to quote from you in 2014 when the president was considering executive action on guns. You said, time and again, the president, this being Obama, has chosen to push his authoritative agenda with little regard for constitutional process. Why is the president not doing exactly what you criticized President Obama for?
Because you can't change a law on guns or immigration with the stroke of a pen. If somebody was trying to change a law, that would be a very different situation than a president saying, I'm declaring a national emergency on the border. I'm not appropriating new money out of thin air. I'm actually switching resources from things like DOD counter drug to actually fighting drugs on the border through this emergency order. And it's focused on things that are a threat to the American people. Is there always consistency among Republicans and Democrats? No, that's something we have to accept. But in terms of what I say and what I see, I think it is consistent to oppose a president that would attempt to change a law versus a president that would attempt to take existing resources and enforce abortion.
Okay, so here's the question. This kind of opens up a can of worms, but I'm glad Mike did it. If you feel that elected leaders have undermined the Constitution, we can spend all morning on that. Has President Trump, according to Maxine Waters, and of course, Mike, you know, Mike is a conservative, has President Trump undermined the U.S. Constitution? Yes or no? Mike says there's three areas on the issue of guns, on immigration. Is he correct? 222-TALK. 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 headed toward downtown this morning, 10 East at Cassett, we're seeing backup. 295 North from State Road 9B to Bay Meadows. Traffic's busy there. And 295 South at I-95, we're seeing some backup there that starts at St. Augustine Road.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. For the longest time, I've wanted to come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. But up until now, I haven't been able to find anything that held up to my high standards. I've finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. My new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB to get 30% off plus free shipping.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Mostly cloudy today. The high will be about 85 degrees. And this evening, there's an 80% chance of rain with thunderstorms early tonight. 62 the overnight low. Right now, it's 65 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
You know, just as there's all this fear-mongering that government is going to take over every corporation and government is going to take over every business or every form of production, we should be scared right now because corporations have taken over our government.
That's Alexandria Cortez. I don't know if I would say government's trying to take over every business. I just think in some cases they just want to, you know, not put their nose, but put a good chunk of their whole body into almost every sector out there because they believe the only way that the regulation can take place is not leave it to the states or local municipalities, but they believe they should have a big hand from high above. You know, we don't have a We don't have a federal government. We have a national government
right. These
days.
Right. I'm wondering, what's their motive? I mean, are they just power hungry, or they feel like they're standing up for the little guy and helping them out in areas of the
They're family? Power hungry so because yeah. They want to stand up for the middle guy, they say, probably.
Pyongyang, we should be wary of any entity in which both of those things are combined.
Now you hear what she says. She goes, we should be wary of any entity where you have the private sector mm-hmm. along with the government sector combined. So I guess that means Obamacare was totally just a wash because they had a little bit of private sector and a lot more of the government sector involved out there. Heaven forbid we should have any of the private sector in our education. Heaven forbid we should have private sector, as you know, they want to eliminate private insurance and have more of a Medicare for all out there. My question to you at 222-TALK, 222-8255, whether it's locally here in Northeast Florida or statewide that you've, you know, observed or federally, if there is a private-public partnership, tell me where that, and educate me here that I may have not followed for years as a reporter. Give me an area, even here locally, where the government has really overseen many. They just can't get the job done, so now they're maybe outsourcing it to the private community.
Well, I can think of postal delivery. You know, the U.S. Post Office is closed on Sunday, so they outsource it to FedEx that day.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's one area. What about, now I understand where the government can have mm-hmm. more, you know, the education and things of that area, but mm-hmm. where are we seeing more of, for example, government run that now it's gotten a little bit better with, even though it still has government elements in it, mm-hmm. where the private sector's coming and done a better job? Power companies, maybe? I don't know. Maybe when it comes to waste, I mean, I know that we farm out certain communities when it comes to landscapes. Some high schools have farmed out in here in the state of Florida when it comes to cafeteria. Out there, they save a little bit of money.
Right.
Where are we not doing enough on farming more of the private sector of government entities?
You know what? I can't think of any just off,
that's why I'm
asking off the cuff right now. But you know, there are always partnerships between the private and the government sectors. Anytime someone needs to call 911, a city run, you know, ambulance is going to pick that person up and take them to a private hospital.
But most of those you're going to call today, I mean, volunteer services, they've kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, too.
Whether it's through one way or the other. And that's why the emphasis in democratic socialism is on democracy. And it's not about, you know, it's just as much a transformation about bringing democracy to the workplace.
Bringing her democracy to the workplace. That's a code word saying, look the heck out for a business owner. By the way, I just saw with Tommy Hazzuri running for, I guess he's running for re-election.
City Council.
Yeah, who, one of his biggest things he loves to talk about is the new HRO bill that was passed 2 years ago. Wow. If that's the best you got, give me a break. 30 minutes after the hour. More coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There is no word yet on the cause of the deadly airliner crash in Ethiopia, but we could be closer to getting some answers. One of the plane's black boxes has been recovered. However, one official says the device has been damaged, so we don't yet know just how much information it will yield. The people of Venezuela, already dealing with hyperinflation and shortages of food and medicine, continue living without electricity. A nationwide blackout struck on Thursday evening, and while the lights have come back on in some areas, many places remain in the dark. A border wall figures prominently into the president's budget proposal for 2020. It's due out later today. Mr. Trump reportedly planning to ask Congress for $8.6 billion for wall construction. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures down 182. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. 95 South, mile marker 314 in St. Johns County. We're looking at a broken down car. We are seeing backup there on the traffic camps. 295 North on the ramp to I-10, there's a broken down car. And 295 North at Dunn Avenue, look out for a crash this morning. We're expecting mostly cloudy conditions and warmer weather today, a high of 85. This evening, there's an 80% chance of thunderstorms and an overnight low of 62. Right now, 65 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump's 2020 budget calls for trillions in cuts over 10 years. Over the last 2 years, more than 15 million people in the U.S. have quit using Facebook over concerns of privacy. And a proposed constitutional amendment that would raise Florida's minimum wage has cleared its first hurdle.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Hey, good morning. 32 minutes after 7 a.m. Have you all gotten issued or get used to the time change? I mean, here's the thing. It's a federal time change. I know the state of Florida says we want to just keep it one way or the other, but I mean, I guess they could. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the states have the power to either keep it or do away with it if they choose. I believe Indiana does not have a time change, and neither do the U.S. territories of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
Couple questions we're asking. We're asking a lot of questions this morning. Democrats say that they want to break up monopolies like Facebook and Twitter and Google. They even say that Amazon's getting too big in the food industry. They want to unmerge that. But there's a good chunk of Facebook users that are leaving Facebook, and it's not based on the issue that you think may end up taking place. Minimum wage, it looks like it's going to continue to get more signatures as it's cleared one big obstacle. It's got over 87,000 signatures, where now it gets to go in front of the Florida State Supreme Court about whether or not a $10, everybody hears about a $15 an hour minimum wage. But now they're proposing at incrementalism at $10 if it passes next year, to go into a dollar each year all the way up to 2026. My question to you is, do you think it'll get enough signatures to make it on the ballot, number one? Number two, this is the John Morgan crowd. They want to start it off at $10 an hour and incrementally increase it over several years. My question to you is, do you think it'll make it? Number two, is it a smart move if you support this to go $10 an hour if it's going to happen? Or do you think $10 an hour would still, I mean, $10 to $15, do you think $10 an hour would put you out of business?
You know, they could end up shutting down businesses in certain rural parts of the state, to be perfectly frank with you. Do I think it's going to be on the ballot? I think there's probably around a 100% chance it will be in 2020. Whether or not it passes, all I can think is we got medical marijuana passed in Florida. I think this is a strong chance of getting passed.
Yeah, so do you think that this would pass because it is at a $10 an hour minimum wage? What do you think? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Elizabeth Warren says no more monopolies. No more. In fact, we need to break them up and go much further.
But the reality is, it is not capitalism to have one giant that comes in and dominates, a monopolist that dominates a market.
But if it's not capitalism, then what's the other name do you call it then? Since you have a monopoly in the education system and in the healthcare system and many areas in the agriculture system.
What I have supported all the way through are the kinds of things that help level the playing field.
As Democrats propose eliminating monopolies out there, Deidre Bolton from the Fox Business Network says that if you look at what she wants to break up, it's just more than the high-tech companies. Also breaking up Amazon when it acquires wholesale foods.
Go through the three steps. She wants to apply new regulators to basically undo the mergers that we've seen or separate properties. So in other words, she wants to take Instagram and WhatsApp from Facebook. She wants to take Whole Foods away from Amazon. She wants to undo the Google Nest merger, which she wants to bar tech companies. And I feel like this is particularly focused on Amazon from providing a marketplace and then also selling products on that same marketplace.
How many of you, it's amazing for all the free marketing out there, especially on the conservative aisles, because they may not like certain posts that they may get deleted. But yet, some of our conservative listeners we've heard from this morning show, they would love to regulate Facebook and break up the monopoly. And yeah. I'm like, really?
Yeah, they want a political agenda pushed, I believe, more than anything else with Facebook. But I don't see Facebook as stopping anybody else from competing in the open marketplace. When you think of a monopoly, you think of unfair trading practices.
Right.
What has Facebook done to destroy their competition? I don't see it.
I mean, for those of you out there, 222-TALK, 904-222-8255, is Facebook too big? Is Twitter too big? Is Amazon too big? I mean, Amazon argues, well, wait, if you want to call monopolies, isn't Walmart or Publix here in Florida a monopoly? So we need to get into the competition. And now mm-hmm. they're going to be called a monopoly. To my conservative listeners out there, the reason why we bring this story up is because Facebook users between the ages of 12 and 34 mm-hmm. have left. 67% of that age group has left Facebook, not based on censorship, but based on privacy out there. 170 plus million people use Facebook here in the country. But on the flip side, the biggest majority of those that have gone on the Facebook, 50% wise, gone up, is those 55 and older.
Yeah, Facebook, it's voluntary. You do not have to have a Facebook account.
Right.
If you don't want one, obviously. To say that they're a monopoly when there are, you know, other options available, and then people voluntarily deciding, I'm not going to do this anymore because they're collecting too much of my information.
So let me ask you a triple two talk. 904-222-8255. To many of my conservative listeners, when we've talked about this issue over the last year, I understand why many of you are ticked off. You know what Facebook's about. You're ticked off because they deleted a post or they censored something. But yet the biggest concern among other people has been privacy out there. So my question to you, is Facebook, Google, are they too big? And by the way, let me ask you this. Do any of you use Facebook for social media? Or do you refuse to use it? Based on why? That's my question. Why don't you use social media? Or is it a great platform? Or are you just totally disgusted because they delete some of your comments out there? And by the way, is Facebook really about free speech when they don't allow certain far fringe groups from the right and mm-hmm. from the left, they say, to allow their nonsense spewed on Facebook?
Right.
Should they be in the business of regulating it?
Yeah, for the most part, from what I understand, it's very unlikely you're going to get something deleted from Facebook. It does happen, but more than likely what ends up happening is that you may post something and it doesn't have as far reach as if it were something more liberal.
Yeah, now if Roger and I were writing, it would have a lot of far reach, but
yeah, unless you pay.
Let's go to David. Hey, David, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I do think that Facebook has a kind of a monopoly. There is no competitor. You know, MySpace got shut down, and they actually do have some advantages in the marketplace. Facebook is preloaded on every single smartphone, and 9 times out of 10, you cannot uninstall it. You either have to just disable the app or not use it. So, I mean, it's kind of already getting that free, you know, tie-in with all these daily use items. I mean, everyone has a smartphone. So the fact that they're pre-installed, and a lot of businesses actually, when they check your Facebook, if you don't have one, they won't hire you. So Facebook has now kind of become mandatory for people to have for certain jobs.
Mm. Really? I never heard of that about Facebook, man. I mean, my app on my phone, I mean, I could download it, but and maybe in some cases you're correct, but I mean, I didn't have to disable it. I can delete it, but I didn't realize I've never heard of that before. The companies won't hire you unless you had a Facebook account.
Well, a lot of companies like to check your Facebook profile to make sure you're not posting crazy
correct.
Stuff. And if you don't have one, that's just as worrying. It's like not having a credit score, you know? Yeah, how they always say it's harder to get a credit card when you have no score than if you have a bad score. Well, having no social media presence means they're even more worried because they don't know what you think.
So what would you do as an alternative? Would you break them up? I mean, David, it's like a conversation where, you know, we're sitting at breakfast going, man, that Ford dealership just monopolizes the local area. Is it more of that type of an attitude, or do you think that they should be more regulated?
Well, I think they should do kind of like what they did with Microsoft. When Microsoft was selling PCs and they were giving discounts for Microsoft Windows, they got dinged on that and said, hey, you can't offer discounts for selling your software with your hardware because that's a monopolistic practice. I think Facebook should kind of be restricted from having their Facebook software preloaded and, you know, things like that. I mean, I'm not really against them being a monopoly because, I mean, they had competitors and they failed. Same thing with Amazon. I mean, Amazon had eBay as their biggest competitor. Amazon wasn't the first. You know, they just were better than their competition. So
yeah.
I'm okay with them having that monopoly. I just think we should regulate some of their practices like that. You know, I mean, obviously with the data collection and things like that, but like I said, just they have all these inherent advantages. They do need to have a little bit of regulation, but not a lot. I'm not a huge fan of massive regulation. You don't need to have Senate hearing panels and things like that.
All right. Hey, you know. David, good and interesting call there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a friend who has a business. We talked once about Facebook. She says that she does not hire people without checking their Facebook profile, but she didn't mention anything about if they simply don't have a Facebook account.
Yeah, I've never heard
not hiring them at all and consider them ineligible, but she does check.
But he said something, and I'm not putting words in it. Let me expand mm-hmm. on what he said. I think that was a good call. I like mm-hmm. certain things that kind of interesting. I didn't know were there, but let's say that Microsoft, when he talked about offering this and then some of the other extra accessories, that somehow that was becoming a monopoly out there. Mm-hmm. What is to prevent a company? And if I'm mixing apples and oranges, I preface this, I admit it. But if you have a company that wants to open up, Target wants to open up from Walmart, and you do know that Target and Walmart, for example, are on different sides from Publix and Winn-Dixie when it comes to allowing alcohol and hard beverages on the same aisle where you can buy your smokes and buy your chips at. In other words, you got to go to a separate building right now to buy the hard liquor.
Mm-hmm.
The spirits, as they say. Walmart says, no, we need to eliminate that. Too many regulations. That's an interesting debate. But what if Target opened across from a Walmart the same day? And Target says, by the way, when you come into our store, we're going to give you a free pair of shoes. Ladies, free pairs of sundresses. Men, free pair of boxers, whatever. And Walmart goes, well, we can't compete with that. Should that limit what the advertising and the transaction and mm-hmm. the offerings of advertisement that Target is doing? Yeah. Because if you can't compete, hey, am I wrong to sit back and say, hey, that's just the way the free market is?
You know what? I'm concerned about there not being an unfair, business practice that squashes the competition. For example, if Target is realizing that Walmart's getting ready to open up across the street, they buy up the land at a higher price. Just to keep
I'm talking
the
about the two. I'm talking about the two that are already open.
But that's a totally different thing, and it's competition. That's helping the consumer.
Okay, but you wouldn't have a problem with mm-hmm. my analysis that no. I just gave,
right? Not at all.
Okay, so that's what I'm already getting some mm-hmm. emails here from Democrats.
In fact, that is the purpose of having competition, to make sure that the consumer always ends up with the best deal possible.
I'm kind of curious. 888-825-5255. Another big question. Want to get into this next? Democrats in the U.S. House pass a bill. Now, whether it gets approved by the Senate is a different question about registering online, and should you be able to have same-day registration with same-day voting as we approach elections next week? Democrats say yes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And what's good or bad about it? It's democracy, they say. We want people to engage more into the system. What is the bad thing about online registration when it comes to voting? What's your take on that? Like to hear from you. What's the pros and cons? It brings more people into the system. What's the bad downside to that? 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 North on the ramp to I-10, there's a broken down car. And 295 North at New Kings, there's a bad accident right now. All the lanes are blocked.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
There are four attitudes we can take as it pertains to God's will for our stewardship. We can say no to God, or we can say perhaps, or we can say someday, or we can say yes to God. Though the first three may cause us some conflict, we can rest assured that when we say yes to God, all conflict will cease. Your work will take on a dignity and an honor that you've never before realized as you become a partner with God in eternal enterprise. That should be the attitude of our stewardship.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Mostly cloudy today and warm. Our high will be about 85 degrees this evening. Strong chance of rain with thunderstorms early on a low of 62. Right now, 65 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats propose breaking up high-tech monopolies. The latest jobs report was weaker than expected. Economists still say that 2019 is still a good year for the consumer. And the DeSantis administration says they are looking at ways to cut the red tape when it comes to occupational licensing in Florida.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
As you know, we have local elections coming up a week from Tuesday, not only here in Jacksonville, but Orlando and Tampa and other areas throughout the state. But the question I'd like to ask you is, how much time should we allow people to vote? I mean, during the regular election season, you allow them 45 days out, give or take a day for the early vote, and then there's early vote, and then, of course, you've got your primary and going into your general election. Democrats pass a bill on Friday where they want to help eliminate all of that. Oh, by the way, let's give illegal aliens a chance to vote. Call the HR1. It's called For the People Act. The Democrats heavily supported it, 228 to 197. They say that by doing this, it expands voting access and gets big money out of politics. One of their bills would support cities like Jacksonville to allow non-citizens to vote in next week's local election. That's the type of bill they want to push. It will allow non-citizens to vote, just not on federal elections, Roger, but on city council for sheriff here in Jacksonville. They also want to strip Florida and other states from the ability to redraw their own congressional districts. Here's another clicker. Enact online voter registration or automatic registration. So in other words, the day that you get to vote or you want to register to vote, bam, you would be able to vote that week for the primary or that early voting period. My question to you is, some people would sit back and say, I've already gotten emails. Hey, this is great for democracy. This is transparent. People that come down, they move and, they can't get their house situation taken place. So they want to register online with a Hogan's office, the supervisor of elections.
Right.
And then should they be able to vote that same week or the same day? Good or bad? Some people say it's good. What do you think?
How can you verify the person's identity, first of all, when they are registering to vote online, and then you allow no time to go by to catch the person? They can register that very day and then go vote?
But here's the question. How many days should we, if we're going to have gun controls from 7 to 10 days to find out whether somebody's guilty or not of an existing crime in another state, why are we rushing the right to vote when you come down from another area, come down from another state, or maybe it's a quicker process here locally to find out whether or not you've got a tax exempt status when it comes to your house? Should we allow people, even those at rent, should we allow people on their word of honor? Because by doing this, don't you allow also illegal aliens to come out and vote without checking their background?
Exactly. Yeah, there's no way to find out who they are. There's no vetting time, no process to register them. If the registration takes place in the very day, I just see that as being a breeding ground for voter fraud.
So to some of the Democrats out there, so same day or same week registration, they got to check out. I mean, it's not just whether or not they're felonies. We got to check out whether or not they say that they live within the area. Mm-hmm. So are we putting, here's a question I'd like to ask you, 222-TALK, 222-8255. What are the pros and cons with that? Number two, or have we weakened our responsibility when it comes to register to vote? In other words, we've got local colleges itch and complain that they haven't put polling stations like the University of North Florida. But as you pointed out, Roger, you sit back and go, well, wait a second. First off, there isn't that many people in the area that attend that college to vote. Mm-hmm. So is it worth putting a polling station out there?
Exactly. Now, that's not to say they don't have a large student body, but many of them are from other areas and they vote absentee from the community that they're originally from. So why do you need to have a polling place at an area where they can't vote in that election because they're not from that community?
One of the other big stories we've been reporting this morning, the big hurdle by the John Morgan types is to get a $10 an hour minimum wage. The group is called Florida for a Fair Wage. They've submitted over 87,000 signatures to get it to become eligible, at least the review, by the Florida State Supreme Court. Under the proposed amendment, it would be put on the ballot next year, 2020 statewide, instead of going instantly to a $15 an hour minimum wage or $12.50, it would go from $8.46. Within a year, it would go to $10 an hour. Then each year, a dollar would be added to with the state constitution. By 2026, it then would become a $15 an hour minimum wage. My question to you listening is, so it's not $15 an hour. Okay, it's $10 an hour. Is this really going to hurt the economy? Yes or no? Why would it hurt the economy? I mean, Roger, it's only $1.40 an hour wage out there. Is this also, when you politically think about it, is it smart for the Democrats to go along with this because it incrementally pushes it? People could sit back and go, $15 an hour is nothing. $10 an hour? Yeah. I think people would probably support it. And would it pass?
You know, here's the deal. If I'm a business owner and I know that the minimum wage is going to go up and I've got a team of employees, many of whom are entry-level jobs, maybe high school students, getting a job, and I know I'm going to have to pay them more next year, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise my prices in advance of that. And then the following year, I'm going to raise my prices even more. And it's going to end up not having the same effect of giving people a raise because they're not going to see it because everything throughout society and throughout the economy is going to be more expensive.
222-TALK, 222-825. Governor Ron DeSantis says that he wants to cut red tape. He wants to eliminate a lot of these occupational licenses. They asked the question, why do you need to ask the government to own your own company? 1,200 hours, Governor Ron DeSantis says, why do we need 1,200 hours for those that want to just become barbers? My question to you is, why do we need all this extra amount of hours for hairstylists, braiders? Is there an area, so here locally at 222-TALK, 222-8255, is there too much regulation on some of these occupational licenses that you need, or is there not enough? I'd like to hear from you. Tell me where we have too much regulation here locally or statewide, or tell me where we don't have enough regulation and we need more.
I wish I knew the answer to this, but it's possible that the same license that requires someone to be able to cut hair or allows them to cut hair may be the same license that allows them to maybe give someone a permanent relaxer and they're dealing with chemicals, or maybe the nail tech where they're dealing with, you know, acetone and various other chemicals, right. And that may be why they need to know all that.
So do we need all these extra regulations? Ron DeSantis says, no, we don't need it. In fact, I don't want to cut it. I just want to eliminate it.
Right.
So am I phrasing the question correct? Why do you need the government permission to own your own company or work, to get a license? I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about this? For those of you that said, Ed, I was training, and you question going, why do I need 400 hours or whatever to braid hair or to become a hairstylist? Is it worth it, number one? Number two, do we need all those hours? Or number three, tell me an area where you think we don't have enough regulation on, we could use more. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? 222-TALK. 904-222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On 995 South at the Gulf Air exit, there's been a wreck this morning. And if you're on 295 North, just after New Kings Road, there's a bad accident there. All the lanes are blocked.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Another opening in one of the Pentagon's top jobs. Home builders offering good news with a warning. And overhead bin problems on American Airlines. Those stories next.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
President Trump begins this week searching for a new Secretary of the Air Force. Heather Wilson, who many saw as perhaps the next Secretary of Defense, is resigning. She will instead become the next president of the University of Texas at El Paso. The National Association of Home Builders say that its members built more homes than expected in January, and confidence among home builders surged in February. However, the group is warning the recent Fed statements about slowdowns in the economy and future interest rate hikes may dampen home builder production. Nearly 40 American Airlines flights canceled last week because of substandard work done on overhead bins. Those bins could potentially pop open, causing luggage to spill onto passengers mid-flight. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Cloudy and warm today. The high will be 85 degrees. This evening, there is going to be a strong chance of thunderstorms earlier on with a band of clouds rolling into the area. 62 the overnight low, and right now, it's 65 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Here's one for Michael. He says, Ed, he goes, I'm a Democrat. I'm a progressive. And I feel that we can get a minimum wage accomplished. You ready for this one, Roger? He says, next time that the city of Jacksonville wants to get big companies and monopolies like Amazon to come in here, that we force them that they must have a starting salary at $15 an hour.
Well, they're already paying that anyway. So what?
But they originally, yeah, I mean, they were advertising.
Right.
But,
And the Amazon H2 headquarters that they were going to set up in Queens, I looked online. They were going to start there, and there was like thousands of people
right.
at $150,000 a year average.
So here's another question. Some of you have been emailing me. If we're going to bring in jobs, and there's going to be a a tax subsidy, a tax break, should that company guarantee they're bringing in this many amount of jobs – and they're going to start them off at $15. Is this the new norm? If you can't pass the $15 an hour, is this where we're going to start telling companies that I can start paying at $15 an hour? 222-TALK, 222-8255.
Idaho is different from New York, okay? Alabama is different from Massachusetts. How can you have a national federal wage? All right? I don't understand that. Federal government should not have jurisdiction over the states anyway in a matter like this. The conditions are different in these states, right? The cost of living is different. The state of business is different. If you're going to do it, and I'm not in favor of minimum wages, by the way, but if you're going to do it, you got to do it at the state level. You cannot do it at the federal national.
That's White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. Let's go a little further. If you want a minimum wage, why don't you do it by regions? I asked this question before. Why not have it? If you want to go down this road, Roger, you pointed out Miami has, and Jacksonville has a tremendous economy.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of Tallahassee, even Pensacola, you got a lot of rural areas that if you mandated $10, $12, $15 an hour for a minimum wage, a lot of companies couldn't afford it.
Especially like the Panhandle and Big Bend area right now as they recover from the hurricane.
Right. So here's my question. If you're going to have a minimum wage, shouldn't it be done by regions? I mean, taxes are set regionally. Education taxes, sales taxes, property taxes. If you're going to go down this road of a minimum wage, why should it be done statewide? Why don't you just do it regionally? Where some companies could maybe absorb others out there. 222-TALK, 904-222-8255. Several people have been emailing this morning. We got the proof Trump's been undermining the Constitution. And some of these people claim to be conservative out there. We had some callers claim that Trump's been undermining the Constitution. That's the reason why they need impeachment. Presidential harassment. We'll talk about this coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.